proposed changes to the 2013 ferry schedule are announced, and celebrating the anniversary of the Eagle Preserve. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Skagway and Haines and some other port cities will see ferry schedule changes next summer. A draft sailing plan for May through September of 2013 alters some times and routes. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports on what may or may not change.
This year's summer ferry season has more than a month to go, but the Marine Highway has already drawn up next year's sailing plan. Officials are distributing copies of a draft schedule and taking comments through later this month. Lynn Canal Dayboat Service is among the changes. Ferry Chief Mike Neusel says next year, the Malaspina will sail round trip 6 days a week from Juneau. That's one more than this year, which included 2 half-day, halfway trips with a night spent in Skagway.
That didn't really go over very well with communities, Haines and Skagway, and it got away from the true dayboat concept of that ship running the same route virtually every day.
Last year, the Malaspina overnighted in Skagway, sailing daily to Haines and Juneau and back. Skagway business owner Jan Rentmore, who serves on the town's ferry committee, says that hurt commerce.
We found when the ferry was homeported in Skagway for those 3 years of 2009, 2010, 2011, that was a very inconvenient schedule for people who wanted to travel through the region.
Next summer's schedule also makes changes to the Juneau-based Lacandi schedule. Some will clear space for other ships to dock at the capital city's Auk Bay Terminal. The small ferry will add an overnight stop in Pelican every other week. Neusel says it will save on overtime and improve service.
So instead of leaving Pelican and getting to Juneau in the middle of the night, you can leave Pelican in the morning and get to Juneau in a reasonable time. And a lot of people come here to do shopping or business or whatever, and hopefully that will help facilitate that and make it easier.
The Lacandi will also overnight weekly in Angoon, adding to the village's twice-a-week fair-weather port calls. And Hoonah will continue getting a weekly overnight Lacandi stop. The small ferry will continue its sailings to Gustavus, a recent port addition, but the schedule will change.
It's similar. It's not identical. There are some minor changes to that, and that's based on the changes that we had to make with the Lacandi serving a variety of different ports, but still good service to Gustavus, but slightly different than what it is this year.
The Juneau-based fast ferry Fairweather will remain on the same schedule to Sitka and Petersburg this year. It will run 4 days a week in May and June, then 7 days a week in July. Some Sitkans have asked for more service in the early summer. Neusel says that's unlikely anytime soon.
That's really a cost savings measure. It's expensive to operate that vessel, and the traffic volume in May and June hasn't quite ramped up yet to warrant 7 days a week.
Like all seasons, some schedules will vary as ships are tied up for overhaul and repairs. The Columbia, which connects southeast to the lower 48, will get new engines next fall. Neusel says that will kick off a schedule shuffle.
So in September of 2013, the Columbia will go out of service basically a month before it typically does, and the Malaspina will shift from being the Northern Lynn Canal dayboat to actually doing the Bellingham run in place of the Columbia. And Taku will shift up to fill Northern Lynn Canal.
The draft 2013 summer ferry schedule information is available online. Comments are due prior to August 28th. That's the day officials will hold a teleconference to hear suggestions from community leaders and passengers. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
We'll have more on the proposed schedule changes after the Skagway Ad Hoc Marine Highway Committee meets later this week. There's a reason the Chilkat Valley is called the Valley of the Eagles. About 40 years ago, biologists and residents in the Chilkat Valley began to recognize the area had one of the most impressive gatherings of bald eagles at almost any time of year. Clinkets in the village of Klukwan and throughout the area had this knowledge for generations. But it was in the late 70s and early 80s that Haines residents began a collaborative effort to protect the eagles and waters and habitat that supports them. This year is the 30th anniversary of the results of that effort, the designation of the 48,000-acre Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve. Last weekend, dozens of Haines residents and guests rafted the rivers through the area to celebrate the preserve. The trip began on the Sirkou River. The preserve includes lands along the Sirkou, Klahini, and Chilkat rivers, where more than 4,000 eagles congregate annually to feed on spawning salmon. Eagles can usually be spotted any time of year throughout the preserve. And the anniversary celebration raft trip was no exception.
There's an eagle out there, and an immature eagle, just watching us go by.
The rafters met up with the Chilkat River before the trip ended at the village of Klukwan. Visitors were welcomed by Tribal President Jones Hotch into the longhouse at the village. Ben Ellis, director of Alaska State Parks, thanked the American Bald Eagle Preserve Advisory Council for organizing the event. He called the governor-appointed council a unique collaboration.
It is a model which brings the city, the state, the borough, the federal agencies working alongside conservation organizations and other nonprofits for the betterment of the preserve.
Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott touched on the controversy that surrounded the creation of the preserve in 1982. It was created when Alaska passed legislation to protect and preserve habitat areas throughout the state. She mentioned that at the height of the Alaska land debate, Governor Jay Hammond and U.S. senators began receiving more letters on the Chilkat bald eagle controversy than any other issue.
The issue was how to protect and simultaneously allow for use and development of valuable timber and mineral resources.
Emotions in Haines and Klukwan ran high during that time. Mayor Scott read the recollections of Dave Olrud, who participated in the talks about drafting the preserve bill.
The people of Haines went through terrible misery. It was so bad there was physical violence between neighbors who lived side by side for years. The steps the citizens of Haines followed were classic. We were proud, but that didn't keep our economy from dying. That brought us almost to our knees. We became humble, and I think it was necessary for people to reach that state before they could get together on such a controversial issue.
Haines historian Dan Henry described the meeting that finally brought about agreement. 15 stakeholders, including federal agencies, conservationists, miners, and loggers, came to an impasse. But Mother Nature helped them out.
They hit a standstill. They couldn't go anywhere. And so they're all going to fly out and say, well, we're going to try it again sometime. But as things often happen around here, a blizzard moved in, and nobody could fly anywhere. And so eventually, I think Ray Menneker mentioned to me, he said, you know, I just said, well, let's have dinner, and then we'll go back and meet. And they met until 3 in the morning that morning, and finally they came to an agreement that everybody could live with.
Only 14 of the parties signed the agreement. The village of Klukwan did not sign, but Henry said they let it be known they would cooperate with efforts of the preserve.
And the reason that they did not sign is that, you know, Klukwan has always had this Chilkat Ani, this entire area, 2.6 million acres, from Point Sherman up to the passes, and Klukwan was not willing to sign off any part of that, but at the same time they agreed that they would be cooperative partners.
Disagreements about uses in the preserve still exist. Some conservation groups are critical of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game for not studying the impacts of commercial jet boats on salmon habitat. The groups say the lack of protective restrictions does not fulfill the spirit of the law that created the preserve. But Henry emphasized that the process undertaken still stands as a positive example of citizens collaborating on the goal of resource management.
And in fact, it started a whole new trend in resource management throughout the country. And we were the first ones where regular people from different stakeholder groups came together, sat down, and figured it out, rather than have kind of the top-down, the feds move in or the state moves in and says, okay, we're going to do it this way.
Klukwan hosted a lunch for the guests after the Chilkat Kwan dancers performed in the longhouse. And lastly, another small note about eagles. If you're one of the people that reads the Haines Police Blotter each morning on Facebook, you may have noticed a curious item Tuesday morning. The blotter states that on Monday, somebody reported a pile of 6 decomposing eagles on the side of the road near Letnikoff Cove. Wildlife trooper Ken Van Spronson said he investigated and confirmed the pile of avian carcasses was not that of the federally protected bald eagle, but in fact, a pile of dead chickens. which doesn't make it any less curious, really. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer in Haines. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for his help with this report. And thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website at khns.org under Community. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Everyone has an opinion, and you can make yours heard on the KHNS commentary.